it's good to be with you this evening. I've chosen a passage of Scripture and a subject tonight that I think you will appreciate. I was thinking in terms of a title. You know, we always got to have a title here. And we couldn't find a better person that sets up our Facebook as far as her descriptions and illustrations and pictures than Sister Lisa. And so she worked on the one for tonight, and you probably know what it is. One little simple word, but one word says a lot. It's the word wow. And that word comes to my mind when I read these verses that I'm going to share with you right now in 1 John chapter 3. The word wow. And what I want to do this evening with the Spirit of God helping me is to show you from these three verses why we can say wow in light of the content of these great verses. In other words, the truth of these verses, catches our breath. It's just that thrilling. So let me begin reading. I've been in this passage many times and preached many messages from this passage, and I'm sure you folks can remember that, but let's go back to it again this evening. 1 John 3, beginning at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Could we pray? Father, would you bless the reading of your precious word? Would you help us all tonight to leave this service thinking to ourselves, wow, what great truths. May our hearts be stirred, may our souls be fed, and may needs be met this evening. Thank you for Pastor Bruce and his family, the good time they had him back with us, and just continue now to bless in the days ahead. And now, Father, would you just give us a great time in the Word of God this evening and bless the message to our hearts, that there could be quite possibly someone that might be viewing this service this evening that has never really laid hold of the great truths in terms of the salvation truth that we can also recognize here. So, Father, speak to hearts tonight, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at 1 John chapter 3, and in developing my thought this evening, the one word, wow, I drew my thought for that title from actually the word manner. What manner? What manner of love? The thought there in the word, what manner of love, the thought is it's somewhat too good to be true. It's out of this world kind of love. What manner of love? There is more depth, more precious truth in these verses than what any preacher in a lifetime could ever totally exhaust. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. There's been so many great songs that's been written and sung in churches that, and many of them we've sung here, in terms of the love of God. One great song that I think would complement these verses here would be that song, could we with ink the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. This great truth is hard for us to wrap our minds around. What manner of love? It's hard for us to conceive, to understand the depth of God's love. You know, there's many things in life we can't understand. Some of us tonight, I'll give this example. Many of us this evening that are in old school, you might say, we've been around the block several years, we have a hard time understanding modern technology. That's one thing that is difficult to grasp. Some of us grew up in the days of, we had straight drive automobiles, we had carburetors, we had light dimmer switches on the floor, and you know, here in this modern day and time, you've got vehicles that's got computers actually on the dash, and so everything operates off of the computer. I'm thinking of my mother, who had a lot of humor. My mother had a hard time understanding the concept of an airbag on a car. My brother had bought a new car. My brother told my mother that this car that he bought had an airbag. My mother looked at him and said, "Now, why did you get a car with an airbag?" She said, "You had one on the other car and you never used it." That's what I'm trying to say tonight. We cannot grasp a lot of things, and we certainly cannot grasp this. Now, this evening, the idea, the thought, wow, wow. Let me begin this way. We can say tonight, wow. God really loves us. Wow. God really loves us. Behold, what manner. Again, focus on the word manner. Now, it leads us this evening to think about this. God would adopt the manner of love that God would adopt an unknown orphan as his own, a poor and unknown orphan, that he would adopt us as his own. And give us a home and royal treatment. Give us a place of membership in his family and royal treatment. A manner of love so amazing that God would adopt this orphan into his family and permit the adopted orphan to say, "Father, Father." What manner of love? Amazing to call him Father. Now, the Bible says even in Romans chapter 8, speaking of adoption, and we are our adopted ones. We are adopted ones. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage," again to fear, "but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The word Abba means Father. So basically, we cry, "Father, Father." We literally can cry, "Father, Father," tonight, God's people. We know him as Father. He's not just a remote God out there. He is creator. He is sustainer. He's almighty. He has many precious names that honor his character in different ways. But to call him Father, how amazing. What manner of love is this? I say, wow, to be able to call him Father. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my veins, the songwriter said. The Father. Now, so much could be said about that. The Father, it's a, you know, here's the point. Here's one of many points. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So what we see there, it's a fatherly love. And a family love. It's a personal, precious, and you might say intimate kind of love. Because it's a family love. Now, Father, when we think of the word Father, the greatest of all names of God to the Christian, because it's a name of endearment. I mean, we can stand here tonight and we can talk about El Shaddai. We can talk about Elohim. We can talk about so many different names. In fact, many preachers that have preached messages on the names of God. But what could thrill our hearts any more than to say he's Father? What manner of love the Father? I mean, that's personal. This title is more, the title Father means more to the child of God because that's a parental title. It's a parental title. The Creator and the head of the universe is a father to the redeemed. A love that takes paupers and makes them king's kids. Gives us a place in the royal household. I mean, we can't even wrap our minds around that. It's going to take going to heaven to understand fully what that precious relationship really means. We can't get it down here. We've got too many things working against our understanding that, this human nature and so forth. A love that takes poor orphan kids, children, adopts them into the royal family. An unusual love with a glorious design that we could be called the sons of God. That's so unusual. We say many times to one another, we say, I love you. We use the word love rather lightly sometimes, unfortunately. Sometimes it's out of habit. Sometimes it's a custom. We mention the fact that we love someone. Yes, I know sometimes it has deeper meaning than other times, but sometimes it's kind of a trite statement. You know, we're talking to somebody on the phone. We get through the conversation. Well, I love you. Bye. We don't give a whole lot of thought. It's just kind of a custom or a habit. We think of love in different ways. We have a love of different sort for our spouses and for our family. But our love is still tainted because of our humanity. You and I do not have the ability to really have perfect love. I know we can talk about that, but what the point I'm trying to make is simply this. Because of our fallen human nature, we fall short of the graces of the Christian life. We're given help by the Spirit of God, but yet we never bring them to perfection because we're human and we have this fallen human nature. But when God loves us, we can be sure it's pure. We can be sure it's deep. We can be sure it's genuine. I mean, we can be sure. His love included an outreach to the lowest class of people. That's amazing. When God loved us, and He loves us now, when God saved us, He wasn't really working with a whole lot when He saved us. He didn't have a lot to work with. I mean, when God, the Bible says, God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now get a load of this. When did He love us? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. So you see, that's so encouraging. God loves the sinner. He loves a person in their worst condition. He loves that sinner. He loved us when we were lost and undone and unfit, but He loved us just the same. I say, wow, that God would love us that way. Unusual. His love is unusual because it's unexplainable. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 3, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible says it passeth knowledge. We can write books about the love of God. We can sing songs about it. We can preach messages about it. But we still don't fully understand it. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians. We can't really explain it. I mean, we may as well accept that. Now, when we get to heaven, praise God, we'll be able to understand it then, hopefully. I say hopefully. I mean, more than likely we will. We'll have a new body. And we'll be able to understand a whole lot of things a lot better than we do now. But you see, now we cannot plumb its depths. We cannot scale its heights. We cannot measure its length. We cannot encompass its breadth. Because we are held down by a fallen nature. The love of God drew salvation's plan. The grace brought it down to man. God's love is unusual. Unusual because it's unsevered. It's unsevered. Let me give you another good verse. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Beloved, there's nothing that you and I could do to make God quit loving us. I don't care how ugly we might get, how mean or cruel we might become, how we might show ourselves, we still can't make God quit loving us. It's unmeasurable. He loves us the same. Now, any two people in this building, any one of us, let me put it like this. Any one of us tonight run the risk of being offended by someone else. And good friends today may fall out and not even speak tomorrow. It can happen among the people of God. It can happen. And sometimes we have that tendency. We seem to love a person a little bit more if they love us. That's how we are. If someone is hateful and despiteful and unkind, do we really love that person like we do someone that's so loving and kind and gracious? You don't have to answer, but you know what I'm talking about. But that's not true with God's love. It's a love coupled with grace. Coupled with grace. What grace is this that brought my Savior down? That made Him leave His glorious throne and crown? The one who made the earth, the sky, and the sea? Who put the stars in every galaxy? What condescension. Oh, how can it be? What shame He suffered. Oh, what agony. And then the death He died. For sinners crucified, what grace is this? What grace is this? So I would conclude that point by simply saying, wow, wow, He really loves us. Secondly, we can say, wow, we have a family resemblance that sets us apart. We have a Christ likeness. Let me show you what the verse says. Look with me now, verse 1 again. Note what it says. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now note this. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Now ponder that for just a moment. We have a family resemblance that sets us apart. We're a new creation, you see. We have a Christ likeness, and the Bible says the world doesn't know us. The world knows us not. That's what the verse says. There's security in that truth. When you stop and think about it, it says the world knoweth us not. There's security in that. The world doesn't know us because it doesn't know Him. If the world knew Him, the world would know and understand us. So there's security in that. I say to all of us tonight, we ought to thank God when the world doesn't like us and the world doesn't understand us and the world does not communicate with us, because that's a good sign. That's what the Bible says. If the world can love us, then we've got a problem. We've got a problem according to the Bible. You see, it would be a problem if the world understood us, because we would be like the world if the world understood us. Now, here's another good verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's what it says. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:11. Spiritual truths are only understood by spiritually enlightened minds. made possible by the Holy Spirit of God. The world knoweth us not. I say thank God tonight for the identifying marks of redemption. Praise the Lord for that. We have a family resemblance, according to the Bible, and we're weird to the world. We're weird to the world. My sister-in-law, Bernie, used to use that word all the time, didn't she, Jim? She'd say, that person's weird. Y'all remember Bernie saying that? Well, you know, that's kind of how we show up in the eyes of the world. We're weird. World knows us not. They can't figure us out. And that's something tonight to rejoice in. It may sound like a weird cause to rejoice, but it really is. That proves that you and I are living on redemption ground. That proves that Christ is living in and through us. Because the world does not understand nor appreciate the things of God. It's not set up to understand it. And so, we say wow to that. That's cause to rejoice. Now, thirdly, let me say this. We usually try to get through by quarter till, don't we, Brother Bruce? Okay. Here's what I want to say thirdly. While we're now God's children. While we're now God's children. Look at the verse. Notice how it reads, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. I'm glad to know now I'm a child of God. It's certainly encouraging to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven as a child of God because I'm saved. But it's good to know right now that I'm a child of God. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to know that. Or I don't have to wait to die to know that. We don't have to live in fear of hoping we are a child. Because it says, now are we the sons of God. We are as much justified Christian as we'll ever be. We've been justified, and that's a done deal. We could talk sanctification. That's a little bit of a different doctrinal word there. But justification, declared righteous, it's already settled. We are as justified now as we will be 10 million years from now in heaven. And 10 million years from now would have to be in heaven. We're definitely not going to be on this earth, are we? Those who believe, and there are people out there that believe this, those who believe you will not know until you die, whether you're saved or not, are not getting their information from the Bible, I can tell you that much. It's not coming from Scripture. It's more than likely coming from some kind of a mixed up religion. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Or if a person is saying, I'm not going to know until I die, they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, are they? If we're born again, and that's what we are according to John 3, Christians have been born again, then how can we unborn ourselves? That's ridiculous, isn't it? We have a present tense salvation. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I love that. This is November, what, 19th? On November the 19th, every one of you saved tonight can write it down in bold type. Right now, I know that I'm saved. Because there it is. Beloved, now, I think sometimes we would be so much better off to quit squabbling over this, that, or the other, trying to second guess the Bible, trying to second guess God, trying to pay more attention to what some religious leader says, and just run right straight to Scripture and just take the Bible for what it says. It's a shame how people waste so much time writing so many books trying to disprove a simple truth. You can't make any more simple than that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I say praise the Lord for that. I'm going to accept it just like it is in bold, black and white, aren't you? We have a present tense salvation because we have a present tense God. Jesus said, I am that I am. I am that I am. He's a God of the present. God sees the past, and it both forgives and forgets. He sees our prospects and foretells and fulfills them. But now must hurry. Number four, we can say, wow, we have a secure future. We have a secure future. Verse number two. Back to the text again. Look how it reads. It says this, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. While we have a secure future. Now the full details are not revealed right now. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. God doesn't give us the full details, but we still have enough to certainly make us happy. We've already got enough basic truth to run on, don't we? There are some things that we do know. I mean, we do know. Some things are revealed. Some things are not revealed. Well, here's what we know is revealed. We're going to be like him. Says it right there. We're not going to be a bunch of little gods running around. There's only one God. But we will be glorified. We will have a glorified body like unto that of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be like him in that way. As he is glorified, as Christ is glorified, so the people of God will also one day enjoy a glorified body. Now, in fact, let me give you another good verse. Philippians 3:21. The Bible says, who shall change? Note this. Who shall change our vile body? Thank God this old vile body is going to get a heavenly makeover. It's going to really be straightened out right. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned, note this, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, Philippians 3:21. The new body that we will get will be incorruptible. It will be immortal. It will be invincible. It will be just like the resurrection body of Jesus Christ in terms of the resurrection body. Our new body will never grow old. It'll never get sick. It'll never know the taint nor the temptation of sin. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's something to say wow about, isn't it? We shall be like him. Now we too will one day enjoy absolute holiness. Now, Brother Bruce refers sometimes to his ordination. I do remember, Brother Bruce, we were up here, up in this part of the building, weren't we? And we were grilling you a little bit. And I've heard you comment about some of those questions that were asked. Well, you know who was on my ordination council? You probably know this, Dr. Martin. He helped ordain me. But he asked me, and I can still remember this question. He asked me on my ordination. He said, Chuck, he said, when God created Adam, he said, did he create him holy? He asked me that. And I said, yeah, he sure did. You know, just jump right on into it. And he corrected me a little bit on that. But you know how humble and kind Dr. Martin is. He graciously corrected me on that. He said, no, he said, actually, he said, God created Adam in a state of innocence. But it was somewhat of an unconfirmed holiness. But it was confirmed by his fall that it was unconfirmed. In fact, Adam fell, as we know. But he was created in a state of innocence. But now, I just mentioned that to say that one day, God's people will have holiness. We will be perfect. The sight of him and his splendor was enough, by the way, to cause John to fall on his face as dead, Revelation 1:17. John had seen him, and John, of course, writes this, John had seen him as he was, and John saw him as he is on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that. John had seen him after the resurrection. He had seen him in the upper room, you know, after the resurrection. John had seen him step into the sky from Olivet's, from Mount Olivet's brow. John knew that he was the greatest wonder of the world to come. John knew him. He was that disciple that leaned on the bosom of Christ. He had a special relationship with Christ. John had leaned on his bosom. had experienced the marvel of his love and grace. And so now, tonight, I'm saying this. The child of God, we Christians, we can rejoice because one day we're going to be climbing the star road to glory. We are. We're going to be going through the pearly gates into that city, and we're going to make our way down the streets of gold. No wonder we need to say, wow. Now, I had another point, but I'm not going to be making it. I know the time has run out on me. You know, you're hearing right now, I heard this morning on the news, there is a comet that's moving right now through space. And the newscaster said that that comet is the size of Manhattan, New York. And that thing is traveling. I mean, they say it's the only comet that's been closer to the sun than any other comet. And they're wondering why, you know, it didn't burn up. Anyway, they're making a lot of hoodoo about that comet. They're stargazing, thinking about that comet. Well, you know, this evening I can go to bed and I can sleep with perfect peace. I have a sneaky suspicion that comet's not going to hit this earth. I have good reasons to believe that. You know, God created the stars, didn't he? He holds the planets in space. And I believe that God has his hand on that comet anyway. And so, you know, it's just good tonight to just believe the Lord and just say, wow, God is such a wonderful God. He really does love us. And praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, this evening for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Bless now as we enter into the rest of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.